Blog Talk Radio.
Hello! Hello! Yeah! Woo! Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and gosh, it's a great day to be alive today. It's Thursday. It's my favorite day of the week. Yes, it is. Actually, what is today's date? July 29th. July 29th, 2010. It's really been an amazing day, an amazing week. I don't know about everybody else, but, you know, I'm pretty much getting kicked around kind of like the pinball ball, you know. So if everybody else is feeling like that, we're going to have a really, really wonderful show for the next 2 hours, where we're going to go and talk into really diverse aspects of independence. And I'll get to that in a minute. I just want to make a few announcements. First of all, I want to give a big shout-out to Daniel Jacobs. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Daniel. I don't know how old you are, but you're timeless, you're beautiful, and I'm so glad you're on the planet right now. It absolutely brings me comfort and joy. Announcement is what I've been doing for the last couple of months is bringing to people's awareness to invite your essence into your physical body. It's very simple. The way I've been doing it is simply breathing, getting quiet and breathing, and inviting my essence, which is the larger aspect of myself, the part of me that is, the way Bashar says it, it's the part of me that's on the mountain, so that while I'm down here in the valley, by inviting in my essence guides me and truly helps me to know when to turn left, when to turn right, when to avoid the, you know, the rock slide that's coming down the mountain. It's very simple. It's available to all of us. This has nothing to do with education, finances, gender, social status. You are your essence, and by consciously inviting your essence to join you in your physical body, it will genuinely change the experiences that you have and how you are having those experiences. It won't necessarily make your life problems fixed, but boy, when you're sitting there basking in the love of your essence, the problems just kind of don't seem so big anymore. That has been my experience. I highly recommend everybody to do this in these times because, well, heck, it's free, it's ours, it's who we are, so why not do it? Okay, that was that. Now we are on to our show. I'm very excited about tonight's show because Facebook has become very much a part of my expressional tools. I don't even know how long I've been on Facebook. I'd say probably less than a year. And the community that is building for me on Facebook is tangible, is credible, is exciting. I'm having a fabulous time sharing and seeing other people who are expanding and are aware and they're conscious. You know, for many, many years, I thought I was by myself. And then, whoa, I meet Facebook people from all over the planet who are genuinely, they have healed some genuine issues. They're in the space of divinity. They're in their compassion, and they're bringing in a consciousness, a level of awareness and consciousness onto the planet right now. That is, in my personal belief, the consciousness that is going to shift us into the experience of heaven on earth. July 4th of this year, there was a thread by Marianne Monroe. And she wrote about her own independence, you know, July 4th, the whole, you know, she put in the independence of the country, independence of herself. And when I read the thread, which I was thinking of trying to find it, but boy, it's not easy going back in time on Facebook. You know, it could be miles away in posts. But when I read the post on July 4th, I was deeply, deeply moved by her share, by three other women. There was such an authenticity about their shares that I went, hey, why don't we do a radio show about this? Now, Marianne is with us. Let me bring you onto the show. Welcome to the show, Marianne.
Hi there. Thanks, Goldie.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Marianne joined me. The other three women I initially agreed to be on the air, but as me and Marianne were speaking before we went live, Marianne's a teacher. She runs a school. She's created a school, and I do my radio show. Not everybody feels comfortable sharing these really tender, sensitive, vulnerable moments of whether it's the moment of the aha that you have, that you know you're a sovereign being, or it could even be like one of the women who was coming on said that she didn't feel right coming on speaking of her independence when at the moment she felt that she had, you know, slipped back into a chaotic state. I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting. And so I do honor that. But I want to, you know, open up the phone lines. Everybody there's a lot of people from Facebook that are joining us tonight. You're absolutely welcome to call in and share with us. But I want everyone to know that, you know, this is what I say, and then we're absolutely going to bring you on, Marianne. I try to tell friends, you know, some things that we all go through, I mean, we all fart. You'll get used to me, Marianne. We all fart, so how can we call farting a negative? It's not a negative. It's a biological response to a release of something that's going on within the intestines. Now, human consciousness might make it that it's, quote-unquote, a negative thing, a negative belief around it. But I always look at it, it's like we don't just fart. The animals fart. My guess is I'm sure trees fart. I don't know quite how it comes out, but I would imagine that they do. So my whole point is basically, once there's something that all of us do, it kind of puts it into a neutral space. When you look at it as, you know, we all have these belief systems that we're transcending. We all have these experiences that we have taken on that brought out the darkness in us and brought out the darkness in others that we are now transcending into, from separation into unity. So as long as this is something we all share, you know, I try to create a safe space, a neutral space, and a space where people feel comfortable, even if you don't want to call in. I'm hoping that between me and Marianne and anybody else who decides to join us tonight, to know that, you know, you're not alone, and not only are you not alone, you're right on the money. You're right on the target. We were meant to come here and experience some dark things. This is part of the journey of coming to this planet. And now we're just sharing how we got through it. So with that long-winded introduction of me, welcome to the show, Marianne. How are you today?
Thank you. I am doing wonderful, actually. I'm in the middle of a vacation, actually. I'm in Black Butte, Oregon today, visiting my boyfriend's parents. And so it's just been an absolutely sparkly, fabulous, magical day.
Excellent, excellent. Well, nothing. Every day should be sparkly and magical.
That's pretty much my life. So you'll get that from me most of the time. But yeah,
yeah. So, you know, the word independence. That is a that's a big word, and I don't just mean from a letter point of view. I mean from we could take this on to many. The word independence has levels upon levels upon levels. What I'd like to do is to start out talking about what the thread that you had posted on July 4th was about, because your thread really, it really did touch me deeply. And everybody sharing touched me deeply. Are you open to sharing what you talked about that day on the thread?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I'm a Sagittarian, so we're all about independence and freedom. So if we're not having that, a serious unrest happens in our bodies. And it's probably, you know, everybody, but we are just kind of typical creatures of the idea of freedom. So for me, my independence was hugely powerful for me. I was at a time in my life that I was in a marriage that, while from the outside looked to be, you know, the white picket fence, everything. It was very controlling, very dominating, and my spirit had just shrunk. I mean, I literally felt like I was dying inside. And I had gotten into that very naturally. It was a natural progression from my childhood where I was raised by an alcoholic father who was abusive with me and my three sisters and my mom all through growing up. So my marriage actually from the outside looked like a pretty good deal, but I really had no sense of personal freedom, no sense of spiritual freedom, and I was locked into a way of living that looked like the normal world. It looked like what everybody should be happy with. You know, I had a good job. I was a high school English teacher. I had a new baby. I had a husband who was faithful, who was making money, but the spiritual depth was enormously lacking, and I literally felt a huge depression taking over me. And I couldn't really tell what it was at first. I just knew that something had to change. And I had got a few books in my hand that just kind of helped me remember that there was some spiritual depth to me at some place in some time in my life, mostly my childhood, that had been gone for, 20 plus years. And I remember I had been sitting at the computer writing something, and suddenly I pushed back from the computer and I said a prayer that came from somewhere that, we all have deep, deep in my gut. And I said, I don't care what it takes. I don't care if I lose my arms and my legs. Take away everything that is not me. God, show me who I am. Show me what God is. Let everything that is not that go away so I can know once and for all what I am, just me. And that was when I claimed my independence, and it just, everything from that moment in time shifted and the doors opened and it said, okay, in you go. And so I just think that there is a moment for all people, I think, as we're coming into our spiritual journey where we claim the right to seek, to find, to get there, and that we will. And the determination is so strong that we will allow everything that we have cared about, all our attachments, we release them and we say, give it to me, God, show me. I am there. We open ourselves and we surrender, basically, and say, here I am. And so that is what I was looking for from people. Like, have you been there? And of course, you have that little tiny spot to put that in, So I had only like three sentences to try and say something to people. But that's what I was getting at.
That's beautiful. And to be honest, Marianne, there is a presence in those three sentences, because when I have attuned myself, because I'm seeking that presence. I'm seeking that presence in myself. So when I'm, kind of reading over the Facebook posts, there literally are posts that shine brighter. It's a multidimensional shine.
Yeah.
And it was there. The energy, the consciousness. It was like I was so drawn to reading the post and then the shares. There was such a depth of authenticity. I try to help people remember, because that's part of my teaching, is that to remember that what we see on the third dimension from behind in the non-physical has so much to do with the effect of what we're seeing in the third dimension. The third dimension is almost like this thin sheet of experience, and behind it is the presence of the presence of God or the Creator. Or I try to stay away from the terms God and Creator. That's just not where I resonate. I tend to resonate more with, all that is and the natural. That's just me. But to be honest, these are just words.
Universe.
Universe, exactly. Cosmos, exactly. But, the thread was, it was so genuine, and it was extraordinary. It was like this extraordinary, because I remember I was at my friend's house, and we were waiting for it to get dark. We were going to do the fireworks and stuff, and we had just, we had just finished some wine, and it was a little warm. And when I read the thread, it was like everything around me disappeared. And I read, and I was compelled to share that, oh my God, this is what this moment is in time in my personal opinion, this is what it's about. You know, it's about breaking out of the shell that what happened to us is who we are. Because it's not who we are. It's what we've experienced, and it has contributed to who we are. But because I was also, you know, I was molested, and I've grown up, you know, with most of the people that are working consciously, we've grown up on some level in some sort of abuse,
yeah,
whether
I think
it's mental.
Pretty typical often of those spiritual initiates is that we've all kind of drop down into that the deep bottom dark places of life.
Yes. You know. Now, what's your feelings on why we would go into the deep dark spaces? And it's funny because I can only ask people who I believe have gone through the healing because, well, I'm not going to go. What's your opinion or what's your feelings on why we would go deep into the depth of the abyss?
I think at different phases of my spiritual journey, I think the answer kind of shifts as you're growing. So what I'm understanding now in my space is that my opportunity to explore Creator, all that is, to know myself as that, I create multiple ways of knowing who I am and coming into the truth, which is always present, that never has changed. And so here I've created opportunities to see through the veil, to see through that third dimension, the sensation that I am this body and this is my life and this story that I'm living is the reality. And so I've created one here where I've created a father who is abusive, and I create a mother who doesn't know how to come out of victim and protect her children in ways that she could feel proud of. She did a great job, and I'm not diminishing her role because she was really held the spiritual, emotional ground for me and my sisters, but really didn't know how to lead us out of that victim pattern. And so
right.
Here I have, you might think that we have ideas and beliefs about who we are, and then those create in the world situations. And so I've created them with the awareness that somewhere deep in my soul, there's a knowing that eventually I see through all of this illusion that I've created and realize that it is not the truth. It is simply a story, a beautiful, interesting, fascinating story that now I look back and find quite divine and inspiring. And even though that pain that progressed with my dad was really big at the time, I look back and I just have tremendous gratitude for the opportunity to come to know myself and the power and the strength that has formed down in my lower body. And just the woman that I am now is something I can really be proud of and allow to shine. And not because I had hard times, because I think there are beings coming into the planet now who kind of have much gentler enterings into their spirituality and their life. We're watching all these indigo and crystal children who are just shining from the start. And I honor that. But I think that especially a lot of the indigos and some of the people in my generation, so I'm 35, who really had it rough. But it's great because now we have this amazing element of compassion that we can look at people. We already know. We're like, oh, this is perfect. This is exactly what it can look like. And it's okay to be there because you still get to the other side and you get to be able to walk people over. And so it's nice having that perspective. So I'm really just blessed that I got to be where I was, be where I am now. It all looks like just a really tremendous plan by my spirit.
Wow, that's beautiful, Marianne, and I am right there with you. I truly am grateful. I would not change a thing about how I was raised or the experiences that I've had, because the element of compassion is such a strong, it's a strong influence in my life.
Yeah.
That I see now when the, you know, the frequencies are doing their dance, and when a lot of things are happening on the planet that I won't even claim to understand, I'm just simply trying to ride these waves, the experiences that I've gone through as a child and the
I don't want to say, because I try to say, I didn't overcome it. What I actually did for me, the surrender for me was to embrace it as part of self.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like, this is, yeah, it's not about fighting the enemy. It's not about abolishing the darkness. It's about recognizing that those who were challenging me as a child are parts of me. That's me challenging me.
Those were some big moments in my life when I really looked at my dad and said, wow. So what I basically did is I took this one part of myself that was really angry, felt really confined and locked in and imprisoned, and I created and manifested the entire being based on that so I could see myself. And to then look at that and say, oh, my God, there I am. This is my creation. And then to go through the process of forgiving myself for even having that, for creating that, and then realizing this is perfect. Wow. And watching that part of me just know what already was, which is, you know, I am all that is.
The perfection of all that is. Absolutely. That is such a powerful space to be in. Because now, you know, I tell people all the time, ultimately, it was kind of what we had started talking about a little bit before we went live, that, you know, no one can really hurt me anymore.
No, right.
You know, I can be challenged, and I am challenged. I am definitely challenged in my relationships. I am challenged in, you know, the journey goes on. The journey goes on. Just because I've forgiven my molester and embraced him as part of myself, well, there are other pockets of my being that still, I know that they are, that still have feelings of unworthiness and that are lacking self-love. Because if I had all of that as one integrated experience, I would be conscious of everything in my experience, meaning I would know myself as the tree, as the air. You know, that is what ultimately, I mean, I believe we're on the journey to having that happen. And personally, and I'm curious on your thoughts on this and feelings, I believe that the planet is kind of like I used to say people were spiritual because that was their passion. You know, they were the ones going to the seminars and they were reading the books and meditating. At this point, it's like, everybody's spiritual. You know, there's none of us here that's not, but I don't just mean that everybody's spiritual as an essence, meaning we're all going through a spiritual experience right now. You know,
absolutely. The mom who's at home and she's taking care of her three babies and doing the laundry and stuff, you know, when she has that baby in her arms and she looks in her eyes, she's in divinity. She's in her God space, creator, whatever, oneness. And she's experiencing it. So, I mean, no matter where you are or what you're doing, whether you're an assembly line worker or, you know, building cars, you're having divine happening all the time. And, you know, sometimes you might get to be conscious of what's going on, and that's cool.
I think the whole conscious gig, it's just helping us get, you know, I say to my friends all the time, I mean, I'm doing my best to keep above water and surf these waves of just sheer propulsion of energy awareness. I don't even know what it is. I just know I can feel when it's coming, and some days I ride it, and some days I'm pummeled by it. But can you imagine going through this? Can you imagine, you know, the corporate guy who's like, you know, never heard of Abraham Hicks, or, you know, and I'm pulling names out of the air, but meaning I can't even imagine somebody going through this that has no clue that, you know, even though I'll be honest with you, and as I say that, from a cellular level, there's nobody on the planet, I think, that has no clue. Everybody has a clue. It is, right. We know it because it's happening in us, not outside of us.
Thing is, so many people don't realize that it already is who you are. Like, you, even your DNA already knows. It already has all of the stuff in it to be the thing which you are, which, you know, as you were talking about, is your essence in your introduction. And so when it's happening, you know, I mean, we can resist it because we're holding on to these ideas of ourselves and we're afraid of letting go of our attachments or whatever, but there's some part of it that recognizes truth. You know, and you know, the spirit, it's happening in us. And whether it's sometimes freaks us out a little bit. You know, we can't not feel moved, I think.
Yeah, well, it's like going against every belief, you know, every belief that I had growing up. I grew up very much in a family of warriors. Like that's,
yeah.
That I know from the work that I've done, we're warriors, and there was a point in time when that was absolutely appropriate, I feel, when density was more prevalent on the planet. You had, you know, it's like the indigos, you know, we got to break these constructs, or at least
yeah.
loosen them up and shake them up a little in order to start experiencing the breakdown, which will inevitably become the rebuilding. But, you know, now I'm truly getting that my warrior belief systems, that's what's keeping me feeling so not a part of the group. It's like now it's about being a creator, not
yeah.
a warrior. So humility is a major, major element
oh, yeah.
that I'm dealing with. You know,
you're breaking down your story over and over and over again. So the idea of independence happens continually because you're like, okay, I've created a new structural idea of who I am, and now I have to break that one down again.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, because it's like, holy moly, who would have thought, you know, the sword I'm going to hold that's going to protect me is humility? Because from the warrior's standpoint, you know, it's really about, you know, be willing to die, basically, but go in head first and get, you know, just start slashing. I mean, it's like, it's really, it's an interesting journey.
I think that's like a characteristic of all of us who have really been in those dark, deep places, that instinct to fight and to pave the way, so to speak, for those who are coming. I mean, we're really at the forefront of some huge changes on the planet
yeah.
and in our spiritual beings. And it's cool to be there, you know. It's like, okay, so it was rough at the beginning, and we have some pretty interesting stories to tell from it. eventually we have to let go of it. It's so we have to say, you know what, I'm tired of defending this reality that has been so important to my life and to defining myself. And then you get to this new spiritual awareness, and then you have to undo it all over again. Feel like,
exactly.
Oh, now I created this angelic person, and there's still a lack or a not knowing of true freedom. And then you have to break through that one. And it's, I mean, that independence concept, it's a never ending. Just when are you truly free?
That's an interesting question. You know, because I have friends of mine.
I asked it with an answer, by the way.
Yeah, no. Right, I don't know if it can be answered. I mean, even in the two-hour show, I don't
know. No.
But indeed, and it's interesting because, you know, the aha moment I had with my molester was literally when I said, I'm exhausted hating you.
Yeah,
I'm just exhausted. I just don't want to hate you anymore. And I remember the first time I had gone up to him and, you know, wrapped my arms around him, gave him a hug and said, I love you, man. I love you. It's cool. You know, and it wasn't about saying we had to become best friends and everything.
Right.
You know, he just kind of looked at me and it was at a family function. God bless the family. You know, that's why we bring
yeah.
him on. You know, we come in with our families because that's what it's about. And my brother on the way home, who had also had issues with this particular cousin, was like, what the hell are you doing? And I went, you know, I'm just tired of hating.
Yeah.
I'm done. It was so, I was so complete. And I didn't expect it. I didn't plan it. I just know when he walked into the room, instead of hating him, this overwhelming feeling of accepting him and not judging the situation. It was a love, but it was such a love that goes beyond, you know, this isn't about a Hallmark, I love you. This is the experience of my essence, even
yeah.
before I was
and
calling
that,
it in. That's what I mean, where your essence won't necessarily, you know, pay your bills or, you know, get you out of foreclosures. it just simply brings an awareness that is so much deeper and more real than the illusion of the separation,
which is the separation simply is anything that you feel is not you. That's
right.
The illusion of separation.
And it's so interesting, like you were saying, like you said this to him, and then your brother goes, what are you doing? You know,
exactly.
There's that rebellion on the outside going, wait a second, we're all in this together. You can't just stop hating. Hello?
Exactly.
Like,
that's exactly right. Yes.
I remember my mom, she was, so my mom and dad eventually divorced, but before she did, she was going to a counselor. And she brought me into the counselor because she thought that I was angry with her. And I said, no, I'm not angry. And the counselor kept saying, why are you angry with your mother? I said, I'm not angry with my mom. I don't know why you're saying that. And finally the counselor said, okay, then just tell your mom what you want. And I said, okay, I can do that. I said, I want her to lead us out. We need a guide. I said, she's got four daughters, and if any one of us go off on our own, like claiming our independence, we lose the family. I lose my mom and all my sisters. The only one who can do it and take us with them is my mom. Like, we need you. And she's looking at me going, need you where? What are you talking about? And I'm like, we need a way out of this dysfunction and this abuse, and we need you. And she's just looking at me blank, like, this wasn't her. She can't do anything about it. This, she didn't create it. You know, she just had no idea that she needed to take a stand or be responsible. And I'm like, ah. Oh. And I think, you know, so we kind of all did it in stages, but yeah, so it's kind of, I've ended up being kind of at this front line with my family, kind of going, okay, now we're going to go this way. Now we're going to go this way. But for some reason, I was really, I think, resisting that role in my family. And I finally, hearing myself say it out loud, went, you know what? You just got to do it.
Well, what's
somebody
funny is what
to.
You were asking of your mother was coming from you. I mean, you were going to guide
your family. Yeah, what I was wanting myself.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And when I made the decision to leave my ex-husband, I not only left my ex-husband, I left my career in teaching, I left my home, all my financial security. I actually left my son. So at the time, when a lot of people go through their kind of spiritual initiation or realization, the idea of being responsible for anything is almost abhorrent. For me, it was. Like, I needed just to know, what am I? And I can't tell what that is anymore with anything in my space. Like, that's why, you know, women join nunneries or convents,
right.
And men join, you know, we have to go, like, seeking. And so I actually moved away, and my mom and my sisters, they were all angry at me. I had one sister who wasn't. You know, my ex-husband and his family all decided I was an evil person. I had a one-year-old that I moved away from. And
really?
This,
I so honor that, Marianne. I so honor that. Thank you for sharing that.
It was hard.
It's hard, but you have to heal self so you can be the parent you want to be for him or her, a little boy or girl.
A little boy. He's 10 now. So.
Oh, okay, right. But that excites me because as you were saying the story, I'm like, did she leave the kid? And not because I want you to walk away with the kid, but you got to find self. That is exactly what you have to do.
And I don't know if people understand that is a critical thing to do because, first of all, you can't have an attachment above self. You can't.
Right.
It has the primary. Your inner life, your spiritual life has got to be number one. And so it's like it's very common that the thing that you love the most will literally be ripped from you. And it was like I was being pulled and there was nothing I could do. It was like, you don't understand. I can't not go. If you tied me to this spot, I would just wither and die within months. And I actually was. I actually came to the point where I was allergic to all foods. I couldn't eat anymore. My body was like, it was like I was shutting down the circuit. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's happening, folks. You don't understand. Things will be over soon. So, I mean, I had to go. And so for 3 years, I moved. I lived in three different states. And I studied with different healers, teachers, and that's what I had to do. And, I mean, I remember my mom sitting down on the side of the bed with just anger, just fuming from her body. And she's like, you are leaving me. You're leaving your child. And she was just furious. And my sister going, you're like mother of the year. Like, you are the best mom I've ever seen, and you're going to leave your kid? And I was looking at them with this blank look saying, you don't understand. You don't understand. Like, this isn't even something I can choose anymore. It's like, it has been chosen. It is done. I'm gone. And it's amazing now, because I have the most amazing relationship with my son. It would just blow your mind. He is a little spiritual genius, and talks to Creator, all that is, angels. And I realized now, quite a while ago, that had I not gone there, there was no way I could have participated in being a space where he could explore that part of himself. I mean, it was divine. The whole thing was
orchestrated. Of course it's divine. Of course, everything you're saying is divine. But again, this is the kind of show that I love airing, because we are taking cultural beliefs and just turning them upside down on their head.
Oh, yeah.
Because the culture would tell you never to leave your child. How could a mother leave her child and call that the highest order?
Right.
And yet, spiritual point of view, how can you not?
The
time comes that you have to... When food is becoming toxic to you and you're dying, if you're physically not here, then you've left them on some level anyways. Pardon?
No, I was totally absent at that point. I mean, my whole system had shut down, and I was the most judgmental person at that time in my life. I had created black and white everywhere. So I totally got that people were angry at me. I'm like, believe me, I get it. I kind of hate myself too right now. You don't understand.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, this is the thing I have to do. And it's funny because my mom at the time, her friends would say, oh, how's Marianne? You know, what's going on? And she literally would tell people she joined the circus. That's what she literally said. She joined the circus.
Wow.
She was so upset. And they're like, really? She joined the circus? And she's like, no, we don't know what happened to her. She just took off, like somebody who goes and joins the circus. And my mom now has taken my course, both my courses, at least each one three times. She calls me all the time with, okay, show me this, and now say that again. I need to hear that message again. And she is like my biggest fan. So I had to risk losing everything that was precious to me. Not that I think that it has to be that ripping and tearing, but I think for a lot of people, especially if we believe in a lot of drama and chaos and that's the way we learn, it kind of looks that way. And certainly that's how it came about for me. But I mean, I think if people could just understand and know that it's okay when you feel that call in you, and you feel like all those things that you have worshipped to some degree, whether it be your job or your husband or your families, it's okay to let it go. It doesn't make you a bad person when you need to follow that, you know.
Thank you so much for sharing your story tonight, Marianne. Truly.
Awesome.
Truly. I can think of three people right off the top of my head that will be blessed by hearing your story, just to know that it's an option. Because, there's relationships that are just crumbling right now as this, awareness and spiritual experiences is happening to all of us. And it's almost like, there were front runners. There were people that kind of went ahead. Someone had to go first. That's just the way something works in linear experience. Someone has to go first.
Right.
I knew there was something about your thread. I'm telling you, it was almost like my essence told me, stop here, rest, bask. This really is a deep space to be in, and this is the energy that I'm always intending to create on my show.
Well,
truly.
It's interesting because I think, I can't remember if I friended you or which way that went, but I checked out your show right away, and I just said, oh, I'd love to be on that. And pretty much if I have a desire, I just throw it out there and then I forget about it. So when you said when you put that or sent the message, I was like, oh, thank you, universe, because that's how it works. And so when you're laughing about it just being you and me, and I'm like, well, actually, when I sent it out, I didn't even think anybody else was going to be on it, not that I had a problem with that. But so it was kind of funny. It's like, well, of course.
Exactly. And see, that is the divinity that happens once we get through the chaos of letting everything that's not us go.
Yeah.
You know,
all
because people, they don't know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel when they're first going through it. They, you know, how could, I didn't know. But like you said, going through it becomes, it's not an option. You're going through it. And, you know, people are like, how do you know you're going through it? It's like, well, everything's getting ripped out of your hands. That's how you know you're going through it.
You can't stop it.
It is the tsunami. You know, I look at the planet right now. We are, you know, I have, all of us do, but I have, like, been focusing my attention on the connection of self and Gaia and Earth. You know, this is us. And I'm like, the darkness that is spewing from the Gulf, and it's not even just the Gulf. China, there was an oil spill. Someplace else, there was an oil spill. Is literally the darkness of that which is was born in separation, born in illusion for a purpose. Absolutely. This is not devaluing. We used the oil when we were driving our cars. I mean, I say used because it's clear that, you know, as more and more people go through this awakening, we're going to use free energy. We're going to use, you know, whether it's solar or wind or magnetics or the tides, it's all available to us. But what we see happening on the planet right now, instead of when you've been through the awakening, I don't look at it as the end of the earth. I look at it as the end of separation, the end of the old consciousness, which said, I'm not you and you're not me. That, you know, that's like the ultimate thing that for me that tells me it's old consciousness is like we were saying, you know, how can someone, no one else can hurt me. You are me. You know, it's like, I get so excited, too, because from a 100th monkey point of view, every single person that goes through the awakening and comes out with, you know, their feet firmly planted on the ground as well as their consciousness, you know, expanded out to all of the cosmos. Because, you know, I'm all about expansion, but it's also about being present here in this physical body right here on this planet, right? I mean, and we get that.
Like you were saying, heaven on earth. Like, you have to bring it in here, folks.
Yes.
Bring it in your body. Like, this is where it's at. Like, you can't have it later. It happens now.
Exactly. It really does. And, like, because one of the things that shifted for me as I went through, I mean, because I just started, I woke up at 30 and was like, I can't do this anymore. I mean, I was a drug addict and I was just a mess. I was a total mess. And I just started this journey of, because people are like, you know, how do you do this? How do you get through this stuff? And I was like, you know, ironically for me, I tell people, just follow what you're afraid of. If you're afraid of something, follow that line. Follow what you're afraid of.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right? Because the fear is so much bigger than what is actually going to happen. It's so much bigger.
The thing is, it only exists if you're resisting it, if you're pushing away. If you go right into it, suddenly it's nothing. I mean, and once you get it down, it's like, I mean, people will watch me and they're like, I'll be suddenly get kind of like excited. And they're like, well, and I said, oh, this emotion just came into me and I can't wait to get into it. You know, like I'm going around being happy in my day and suddenly I get excited because I feel this pang in my gut. And it's like, oh, this is God, you know, God, universe, spirit's calling card. You know, this is where I get to explore deeper and get deeper into my body and bring that presence into me. Like, how could I be upset about this?
How could you be upset about that? A whole sister, man. I hear you. I hear you. Because, I mean, it's all about redefining everything that I was told I'm supposed to run away from as a kid. I have learned to literally turn around and not only jump into, but when I jump into it, exactly like you just said, what is dark turns into the most glorious golden light.
Yeah.
You know, this oil is not just dark and sludgy. There is golden essence. Christ consciousness is coming on the planet, and it's coming through that oil. It's just what frequency are you at in your experience? That's all it is, even if it means dying, because that's another thing people are told. I have explored death on many levels, physical as well as in my dream time, and once you know that you can't die, there is, you know, people think life and death are opposites. Birth and death are opposites. Life is eternal. You're either going to birth yourself into, because I tell the kids that I work with all the time, you know, when we die, we're really waking up from another dream, because what we think we're awake and is life right now is really a dream, a very limited dream, I might add. But it's a dream. It's like, and people are like, well, how do you know what death is? And I'm like, every night you go to sleep, you're metaphysical, you're quantum, there's no time. That is life when you're not in body.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're like, for real? And I'm like, for real? But until you know that in your own being, the fear of death will just strangle the life out of you. Just the fear, not the death itself. Because that's what I'm watching happening on the planet right now. Everybody's, you know, they're afraid it's the end of the world. And I believe it is the end of sorts, but it's the end of that which has constricted us and strangled us so that, you know, we can soar and fly and talk to the bees and commence with the flowers. And I mean literally have conversations that you can hear them sing. You know, anything that happens in expanded consciousness, it's like, it's such a more expanded experience. And, you know, and I'm so grateful that, you know, for the last 15 years, I went through what I went through, because at this point in time, I don't have fear of dying. And, you know, if, you know, I'll be honest, ironically, it's the first time in my life I'm not hoping I'm going to die. I've never wanted to be here.
I know. I have that, too. I was like, are you kidding? I would die in an instant if people would be okay with that. Like,
exactly.
Being out of a body thing would not be a problem for me. And now I finally am, like, really excited to be in a body. I'm like, are you kidding? This place is fun.
Like, this place is fun. Yes.
No, so, like, you're talking about, you know, what's going to happen and, you know, whatever, how many years. You know, and I totally am with you on that. Like, this idea of death. I think what we're transcending is concepts of death and the way that we transition, and this idea that we need to really go through a very traumatic experience. So if we're dying, maybe we're dying to an idea of the trauma associated with claiming independence or rebirthing ourselves and coming into a space where really we are able to understand that each time we approach that, you know, death door or that dark night or that experience where we feel it ripping, you know, ripping out of ourselves, that we surrender to it with a lot of grace. And I think that's what we're coming into as a planet. That's what I am picking up from the people around me in my own life, is that, you know what, I think we're going to start getting good at this. And I think those of us, you and me, and those who had that real trauma and we're, you know, paving that way, we're like, you know what, we did it the hard way. You know what, it works out. But let me show you, now that I'm over here, it could be a lot more gentle. And I think that while I love to share the story of my childhood and how I transitioned, I think even the message that's more important to me is to say, let me show you how to make it really graceful now.
Yeah.
Think that is cool. And I think that's what we're coming into on our planet, and that's the shift that's taking place, is we're going to stop making it so hard.
Yeah, the duality is what the friction was all about. Once it's in unity, there's no pushing against anything. It's just
like
instant.
Resisting it, you know, just let it happen. It's going to happen anyway. So you might as well sit back and enjoy the show.
Well, and, you know, I don't know if people are, you know, around you are like, you know, the people around me are like, how can you be so glub, you know, like, or, you know, like, they take it as me being cold, that I don't care about the planet, which couldn't be farther from the truth.
Right.
I've had, you know, I'm deeply in love with the planet. I'm also deeply in love with people. And that is also a very new experience for me. Because if I'm going to, if everybody is self and the whole gig is to love thyself, then I have to love the people, you know, because I used to only love animals. Like, as a kid, I can literally remember eating a bowl of Trix, you know, and the box, there was a rabbit and a little kid, and I would punch the little kid, and I would kiss the rabbit on the box.
Are you serious? That is funny. Oh, my God.
Well, because I had such a resonance. I've always been able, you know, a little Dr. Doolittle, I can talk to the animals talk to me.
Then my mom died, and I actually got introduced to the trees. And it's not that I, you know, as a kid I climbed trees. We have a brook on the side of our house that we skipped rocks, and nature was always a part of my experience, but I didn't recognize it for the actual healer that it is.
Yeah.
Until my heart was ripped out of my body when my mom died, and that's when I really took, like, a quantum leap in consciousness, which, you know, they say you can have your brightest moments in your darkest spaces. My mother, we were so dysfunctional. We were codependent, and we were dysfunctional. But nonetheless, when she died, I dropped to my knees. I couldn't breathe for 6 months. I mean, I was petrified. And as I healed that, the awakening happened that, you know, what in her death, I was reborn.
Yes.
And in that rebirth, the ironic part is, I tell my friends this, the ultimate recycling I'm going to do is, I'm still planning to have children. I haven't had children yet this lifetime. I've already communicated. My mother's soul is going to come through as my child.
Exciting.
I know. Like, and I've had readers, you know, all sorts of people on the show, and it's like, well, isn't that, well, that makes so much sense, because that's what we got to start understanding life to be.
Yeah.
You know, death isn't the end. Death is the shedding of the physical. So because once she died, the communication between me and my mother became critical in that we went from dysfunctional to, like you and your mom, she went, wow, why didn't I listen to you? You teach me. I mean, my mother was never telling me to teach her. She was always like, yeah, you believe that kooky stuff. I mean, because my mom was, she had cancer the last 10 years of her life and only would deal with Western medicine. I mean,
right.
I couldn't do Reiki on her. She wouldn't do aromatherapy. And I wasn't anywhere near the healer I am today. But I was running some energy, and she was like, no, it's chemotherapy or nothing. And I'm like, you know, I didn't. It's like, are you kidding me? You got to poison yourself to kill. And she didn't die of cancer. She died from the chemotherapy.
Wow.
But ironically, after she died and we communicated, she was like, you know, I think there was something to what you were saying. You know, like, oh, you think? And of course, when you go back in the history, she had been raped as a child and never spoke about it.
Oh my goodness.
Her heart chakra, I mean, you should have seen her heart chakra when she physically passed, had a black eruption, like a volcanic eruption growing on her breastbone.
Wow.
It was horrendous. It was, I mean, it was,
could you,
like,
imagine living with that? Oh my God.
It was, well, and to her credit, she taught me as well as others, never be ashamed of your diseases. Like, she would wear low cut shirts to the bowling alley. She loved the bowling alley. She would wear low cut shirts to the bowling alley where everybody could see this black eruption on her chest and say,
wow,
I'm not ashamed of this. This does not define me. And so that part she had right.
Cool.
Because the disease does not define us, right? And so, I mean, she was a warrior that never surrendered.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a tremendous experience. It is the independence that we seek when we surrender what we think is the way that it's going to, you know, we don't have to fight our way to becoming gods. All we have to do is accept it.
Yeah.
We are gods. You know?
Yeah, and all that fighting, all that thinking, all that defending of every reason why we can't have it now, or we shouldn't, or how I need to learn and grow, and all that, or, you know, all our ideas about who we are. I mean, they're creative and they're interesting, but eventually you let go. And the independence, it's like a claiming, but in it, I mean, it's the strongest moment you have, but it's a complete, I give you anything. You cannot take from me anymore because I give it to you.
Exactly.
You know what?
Yes.
You want my money? Take it. You want my money? Take it. I don't care. You know?
Yes.
And it's so freeing. And your heart, it's like I felt myself and my heart and my body for the first time. And you know you're alive because your heart is pounding so hard. You're like, okay, here
exactly.
I am. Now, and then you have nothing to stand on anymore. You have nothing. And you go, okay, you know, universe, you're going to have to pave the way. And I remember for months after that, it literally felt my heart was like 2 feet in front of me because I could feel it just huge all the time. And it was like my heart was literally leading me around like on a leash. And it's saying, okay, you know what? It's my turn. Let me show you how this is done. And I've pretty much been living my life from that place ever since. It's like, you know, people know if I'm doing something, it's because genuinely in my heart of hearts is what I want to do. You don't have to thank me. You don't have to do anything. I'm doing this for me. It might look like I'm serving you or giving to you. This is what makes me feel alive, you know. And if I'm not doing it, it's because I didn't want to.
Well, and you have the choice. See, that's what people don't get right. Once we acknowledge dark and light, all of that is aspects of self, you don't have to choose the dark. But it's not about devaluing the dark. It's not about, you know, annihilating the dark or eliminating the dark, because that's self. You can't eliminate aspects of self. When we're everything, we really are everything. But when we accept ourselves as everything, because it sounds like you totally, you know, your whole field was pumping with life force energy. I mean, I've had several people on my show that said, it would take, they took their bodies years to come to, like, near death, where they're just, you know, they're strangling themselves, literally. And that as soon as they have their awakening, it's like the whole being puffs up and it becomes almost instantaneously healthy. Everything is flowing, and, you know, the synchronicities, the acknowledgement, the awareness, the consciousness, it's all there, it's always been there. And when I hear stories like that, of course, from people, you know, the analogy or the metaphor is clear that the planet will do the same thing once the people on it have had, when the masses have had their awakening, the planet will have, you know, the life force energy come into it, and it will puff up again, and its heart will be in front of it, so to speak. Because we are that. We are that. We've just gone through it first, you know? Exactly.
It can't not happen. It's inevitable. It already is. I love that when you're in that place. And one of the really most amazing moments that I had, because I meditate and work on myself just tirelessly and not in a like in an exhausting way, because it's like pretty much my most exciting activity. But so hours a day, sometimes most of the time, and I was it was actually a dark phase that I was going through, so I was working on myself sometimes 4 to 5 hours a day, and I went through this release, and I was sitting in this space of all that is, and it was just like one of those moments where you're just like, this is it, and out of the blue, I heard a voice say, "You never left. You've been here the whole time." And I went, oh, my God. And I could feel it in my gut, and I knew that I had never been further away from everything of my being, all that is, all creator, universe, whatever, all of that, forever. And it said, this is all anything is. It's all right here. And ever since then, like, the faith and trust that I have in people and in the planet, and people will tell me of their woes, and I'm sitting there with a grin going, oh, my God, you are so ready. Look at what's happening. It's already going on. All you have to do is let go, and it's going to happen for you. Like you were talking about people thinking, don't you have compassion? It's like, this is compassion. I'm watching you do it, and when I watch it from within my being and feel you going there, you can't not go. This is the most compassionate thing I can do, is be a reflection for where you're going to end up, which is in that place of, I get it, I understand now, and that.
Right on, Marianne. You're right on. You are right on. It's beautiful. You're beautiful, sister. I'm loving you, girl. Hey, listen, we're at the top of the hour, so I want you to share all the sites and all the spaces where people can find you and talk to you and work with you. Share it, please.
Okay, sure. My website is enlighten.org. It's spelled incorrectly. It's INLIGHTEN.org. That's also listed on your Blog Talk radio show. And I also have an audio page. So this is where I, fortunately, the universe being immensely intelligence and beautiful in guiding me. Brought up this most amazing, aware, awake partner for me, who also happens to be a music producer and has a recording studio in his house. And so when we met, he started listening to me. He said, "I have to record you. I have to. This is good." He's like, I went into his library at his house, and he's got like 5 times more spiritual books than I have. And he's like, I've read this stuff, and so what you're saying is like true in my book, and so let's get it out there. So I have great audios now. So you can find those at Marianne Monroe, and that's spelled M-A-R-Y-A-N-N. Monroe is spelled incorrectly as well, MUNROE.bandcamp.com. So MarianneMonroe.bandcamp.com. And so you can get those. I'm also got tons of videos on YouTube, also thanks to Boyfriend, who loves to capture me on the video too. He's just wonderful. He's like my biggest fan. So I've got lots of videos on YouTube. My channel is Marianne Monroe 1, the number 1. So so you can find me at all those places or find me at Facebook too.
Okay, now, and Facebook too, exactly. I mean, there's clearly I have a large Facebook audience, so rock and roll Facebook. Tell me about the school.
Okay, yeah. So,
I'm very interested in, yeah.
Yeah, so just I realized that I was teaching for a school actually based out of the Seattle area, Bennett Stellar University, a beautiful school teaching NLP, hypnotherapy, and Reiki. So that's where I started teaching. And I taught all over the world. We taught in really amazing places. One class we did in Istanbul, Turkey. And so I had a great experience traveling and teaching these NLP and hypnotherapy and Reiki. And then I came into the work that I'm teaching now, and that really just hit home with me in terms of me being able to speak about the spirit in ways. So I was doing kind of similar work in allowing people to transition and change with a lot of grace. But this, to me, gave me an opportunity to use language and a spiritual essence that was familiar, and I get to be kind of this loving mother compassion energy in my classroom with people, which I just love. I mean, I'm walking around touching their hair and just can't just not gobble them up, you know? And so this work really just connected with me. And so when I was in that transition of coming into my own, or it's not my own work, it's someone else's, but transitioning away from that school, that's when I started enlighten.org. My mom and one of my sisters were also doing a lot of the work, and so I included them on my website, and my younger sister now has a full practice as a theta healing practitioner. So, and I'm right on the verge of starting a brand new program that is a separate technique from what I'm teaching now, the theta healing, and I'm really excited. I'll be kind of unveiling it this winter. It's just a matter right now of getting the manual together. But so this school, I teach anywhere. Most of my classes are in the U.S., although I've done classes in Canada, Mexico, and several in Bermuda. I have a good community out there. And so I teach anywhere. I travel around usually one class a month. I'm traveling somewhere. My next class is in Boston, Massachusetts.
Nice.
Yeah, the end of August. So it's amazing, and I have just the most sparkly, brilliant, spectacular people always coming. It's just delightful for me. It's my love. I love to travel. I love to meet people. I love to share with people who are really, we're all in the same zone, and everybody's hearts are all mushy and courageous being together and growing. So, I'm like living my dream right now. I'm in the middle of it, and sometimes I have to pinch myself.
Well, you know, because can I ask you how long, from a linear point of view, and I this is for my listeners, how long from the moment you had the aha moment of, I need to find myself, I'm dying, to now? What is that physical time frame?
It's been 9 years. So when
completion.
I made that. Yeah, I am. I am at the, and I'm just starting. So when my new work will be coming out this winter, it's literally the new life coming about. So actually, I'm entering. I will be entering a 9-year. So it's kind of I'll end the year, the cycle off, and just this final work that I'm bringing out. So that's really cool. But when I made that statement, within 2 months, everything was gone. I mean, everything wiped out. Yeah. I went and took the class that I ended up teaching. I took it in Hawaii, and that was kind of the beginning of everything for me when I realized, okay, I understand now why I became a teacher, because that was weird. I went to school to become an engineer. So when I switched over and decided to become an English teacher, it was like, what am I doing? Made sense then. I was like, okay, I'm going to teach. And it's just been literally so brilliantly outlined by the universe ever since then. As I look back, every place I was at was so perfect. There was a period of time where I actually lived with the naturopath and got to understand concepts of homeopathy and acupuncture and all kinds of neat things. And so I've just had these great journeys to really fill out my kind of spiritual knowing. And then now I find that I almost never read anymore. I will look at books, and I might open to a page and pick up a phrase, but most of my learning now comes from my inner world, my relationship with all that is. And I mean, I literally will learn ideas about quantum physics, things that are on the front line of string theory that the universe is showing me is brilliant stuff. So this is kind of just me and the universe now, and you know, I've got the best teacher in the world, like we all do, which is all it is. And I just am listening all the time. And so now I have this new work that I get to teach, and I cannot wait. It just blows my mind.
Well, when the new work comes out, you got to come back on the air and share the new work.
I know all of it. I can tell you, but we can save it for another thing, because it's neato stuff.
Okay, yeah, because it sounds like, I don't want to say don't say it, but either way, I want you back on the show. So you can say it now and come back anyways?
we can keep talking about
independence.
Right, I know. What are we talking about? But you were talking at the beginning about bringing your essence in your body, and really, so many people on their when they're working spiritually and they're talking to angels or to God or the universe, you know, they have, even if they know that they're one with it, they still have the feeling, there's a sense of separateness where I'm talking to it, to that,
right,
as it is distinguishable from self. And so what universe is showing me is how to move beyond that. And then also another quality is to really use the body and to understand that there is nothing, literally nothing, that isn't God in every moment, no matter what it looks like, no matter how you've coded it in your brain, everything is God manifesting and working brilliantly, and all you have to do is be present with it. So I'm teaching people how to really get in their bodies, how to be present, and how to do it with a lot of safety and comfort, and to be walking in the world literally with your belly just full and open and juicy, and just your heart just spread wide, without any sense of fear, without any worry, without any need to protect or create boundaries, and to literally have experiences where when you're standing in front of the other, you feel them just moving, and you and them are just passing energies back and forth without any sense of loss of self, identity, awareness, without feeling like you're picking up junk, but that really how to stay present in the body. And it's cool. It totally works, and it's a lot of fun. It's easier than any other work that I've picked up from anybody else in terms of steps. And I love the quote. I don't know if you've ever heard this by Einstein, when the solution is simple, God is answering.
Oh, no, I haven't heard that. Okay. But I like it. Exactly.
Yeah.
I know it's about simplicity. That much I know. Indeed. Because what's interesting is what I, you know, and like when I'm calling my essence in, I realize that, you know, all that is comes with that and my awareness of it. But for me, the experience, at least at the moment, is I'm grounding. It's becoming a grounding experience.
Yeah.
It's the earth. It's my body. It is very third dimensional,
but it's third dimensional, like, and I'm going to quote you, with sparkles, as opposed to third dimensional sludge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm, it's, I can say for the first time in my life, I'm happy to be on the planet. I'm not, you know, subconsciously going, it's, I really just want to get the hell out of Dodge. This is your, you know, this is your problem, not mine. That was always my, like tagline when I was growing up. Oh, that's your problem, not mine. You know, it's
right.
Like, boy, how much more in separation could I have been when it's all me? It's all my problem. It's me. But the beauty of that is that means I don't need anybody else to do anything for me to solve it. All I have to do is go within, become me. It's, I just have to be, and this is all of us, we just have to become ourselves.
That's,
you know, nothing that we're not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so ironic that, you know, I remember, there was a parable once that I read, I don't remember from who, but it said, you know, God had this gift, and he wanted to hide it because he didn't want it to just be out. So the eagle said, oh, hide it up in the clouds. They'll never find it in the clouds. Oh, he wanted to hide it from the humans. And the eagle said, hide it in the clouds. And God went, no, I'm not going to hide it in the clouds. And eventually they're going to be flying through the clouds. So the turtle said, oh, hide it under at the bottom of the ocean. They'll never find it at the bottom of the ocean. And God said, no, no, they'll build stuff and they'll go to the bottom of the ocean. And then the ant said, oh, put it in our ant mill. And God said, no, 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 because inevitably they'll knock that down. And God, where God ended up hiding it was within the human himself or herself, because that'll be the last place they'll look.
Right. It's so funny. This is so weird. Last night I was listening in the car on a drive. Me and my boyfriend had up to Black Butte, Oregon. And I don't know if you've heard of Gangaji.
Well, that's like, I'm reading Papaji, who is Gangaji's teacher, right?
Yeah.
I love her. Love her. Yes, please. Yes.
She was just telling a story last night, and her CD series is A Diamond in Your Pocket. And that basically that's where all of so the story is that there's a thief who's wanting to steal all the most precious diamonds, and he watches a jeweler purchase the most precious of all stones. This is the one. This is what everyone wants. And he follows the jeweler and for 3 days and never ever finds the jewel. And he's really upset. He's so upset because he's a master thief. He comes up to the jeweler and he says, okay, here's the deal. I'm a master thief. I've been trying to find this diamond. Where have you put it? And the jeweler said, you know, I knew that you were. I saw you watching me, so I put it in the one place you wouldn't look, in your own pocket. And he took it out. And that it's been there, and that when you suddenly awaken and know it, you're like, it was always there. I didn't have to do anything. All this searching was a distraction. And that I'm using this concept of time to push it out into some future where it's not there either. It's right here. And
it's
we can
right
take
here.
Our time, and we can process, and we can change things, and that's great. But at the end of the day, you don't have to do anything. It's already there.
Yeah, that's the thing. We really don't have to. It's almost like the accepting. For the many years like when I quit doing cocaine was the drug of choice for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I definitely woke up one day and said, okay, my life is a mess. And, you know, I moved back home. I left my friends. I left everything, my boyfriend, everything. Now, it wasn't like I never did cocaine again after that point. I mean, there was a weaning off period where, I mean, my whole life changed in that day, but it just didn't stop. And one of the things that I learned is, it became easier and easier. Cigarettes were the same thing for me. It became easier and easier to let go of that which I knew no longer served me when I stopped hating myself for doing it.
Yes, I mean,
I started going, listen, stop hating yourself. If you're going to do it, be in love with yourself for doing it. Someone said, you can't release anything unless it's in love. If you're letting go of, you know, and I see...
Well, it will still have power over you if you still hate it. Even if you push it away, you still feel that angst and that drive for it still.
Exactly.
And it's controlling
it, it's not really going anywhere because the term dry drunk, I mean, there are people that just because you stop drinking doesn't mean you're not still pissed off at the world. I mean, it's
slightly
like...
insane, right? I'm creating drama everywhere. I know my dad, he's like the perfect example of this. I mean,
right,
you
right.
know. And, you know, he's on his walk and on his journey, but goodness, yeah. So
well, and but the point of it is that, you know, listen, when it's time to happen, it will in a moment, it'll just, because when I did finally do that, I mean, at this point, cocaine can come into my field of awareness. I don't choose it. I don't need cocaine. I don't even hate cocaine because for me, it saved my life. I mean, in my experience, I realized I grew up empathic in a very, you know, in a pretty dark experience where, I mean, there was sexual abuse and there was lies and people were cheating. And I mean, God bless our world. Anyways, nobody tells me I'm an empath. So I'm feeling all of these emotions. And when I went through puberty, which was yet another just jarring experience for me. I mean, I was such, I didn't understand sexuality because I had already experienced sexuality for the last 10 years. You know, it was like everything was just so twisted. I didn't understand anything that the cocaine, until I was ready to spiritually awaken, believe it, in my numbness kept me on the planet. Because I know damn well I couldn't have been here if I was feeling everything. I know I couldn't have been. And I believe that that's everybody's experience until you're ready to feel it. And in, even without knowing it, there's a part of you that knows it. Then you can let go of the tools that make us numb, which is the cigarettes and the drinking and the food and the TV and even some spiritual, you know, there. Have you ever met people who are like spiritual workshop junkies? They just go to class after class after class after class, and you know, it's like
they know all the right names and they have all the right words. They say it perfectly, but they're just still.
Well, you can feel that it's not there.
Yeah. Well, if you're talking about this, is so perfect. My sister, she was an alcoholic, self-medicating constantly with prescriptions. Pot and all, just, I mean, those were her primaries. And so every time I would work with her, she'd call me. I'd say, let's not deal with trying to get rid of this. Like you said, I said, let's just deal with your guilt.
Right.
Deal with your resentment.
Oh, God, Marianne, that's beautiful. Exactly.
So I said, let's not worry about this. It's probably working for you in the ways that it needs to. Let's just let that go for a minute. Because when I look at it, your angels say, and creator or universe is saying, you're doing a great job. Let's just deal with this emotional angst. And so this last Christmas, she let go of alcohol and then she let go of cigarettes first. Then she let go of alcohol. Then she let go of the prescription meds, and she's totally clean. And she she said it was actually easy. She goes, when she let go of alcohol, which is a big one, she goes, she hasn't even craved it. She will be around people who are drinking and say, hey, can I get you a beer? And it doesn't
exactly.
Even
there's no craving. You're not
no
that
craving.
Person anymore. And
no.
I have to say, because we're treating the symptom. We're not treating the reason why people do these symptoms. And that's just, and I'm not saying, wait, me and you, you're focusing on it. Western medicine, focusing on symptoms. I mean, that's why, I mean, they were pumping my mom's body with chemo instead of getting, well, why is your heart chakra, you know, clogged to the max?
Yeah.
But that's what we need to get. That's where we need to work on.
Right.
And the rest will happen
right.
naturally. And if you need some herbal supplements or whatever, that's fine. But if you're not working on why our energy is whacked, and that when I got that realization, it hit me that shame and guilt had put me in hell. Not coke, not sex, not alcohol, none of the stuff. That stuff was my savior in hell. But it was not those things that created my hell. Shame and guilt were my hell. Those were the prison bars that kept me in
hell. That's a great Facebook post right there.
Exactly.
It's funny, once you're in that Facebook world, you think of everything in terms of a great Facebook post.
It's very true. It's very true. And it's fabulous to have you here. Hey, listen, I have a, we got 40 minutes left, and I've gotten this hit like two or three times. I have to say it. Do you do guided meditations?
You know, I anything you want. Sure, absolutely.
I'm thinking, you know, we got 40 minutes. You want to do 20, 25? I don't even care how long we do it, as long as, you know, I mean, 40 minutes, we got to end the show. But I'm loving this. We got a great energy going, and I'm hearing, I think, people are saying that are listening, going, you know, let's get quiet and let Marianne guide, like Marianne was born to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So you wanted me to do that now? We're ready?
If you're ready, do you need a minute or?
No. I'm good. I'm good.
Okay.
So what we're gonna do is we're gonna start this meditation by grounding, and I'm gonna take you through a grounding technique. A lot of people, when they ground, they like to go down into the earth. We're gonna do that, but we're also gonna draw earth up. So we're gonna use our grounding to draw earth into our bodies, since we are one with it. So we're just going to be one with it in that way. So it's kind of a different grounding. We're also going to go into a creator space. That's what I call it. You can call it oneness. You can call it all it is. So I'm going to walk you through a meditation there. And then we'll just see what the universe is showing us and what we're going to do in terms of just allowing awareness to come into the body from there.
Perfect.
Okay. So everybody take a nice deep breath. Sure. Inhale and just relax your body. So everybody be sitting. Go ahead and sit in a way that's comfortable. And it doesn't matter to me if you have your arms crossed, your legs crossed, you're standing on your head. It's all good, whatever feels nice to you. And I like to have my palms open. That just is a nice stance for me to say that I'm in a position of receiving. But if you want to have your hands together in your lap, that's great too. And so as you're taking these nice deep breaths, just be aware of your physical body. And so you're sitting possibly in a chair or on a couch or on a bed, and just feel your body for a moment. Put a nice little smile on your face too, just a light one. It helps your body remember and know that this is comfortable and that you're enjoying yourself. Good. And now just be aware, as you're in your body, of the space below your body, possibly down below where you're sitting, down through the earth. And you can go down into the earth and be aware of the space in the earth as far down as you like. If you want to go down into the earth's core, you can. Or you can just go a little bit down into the rocks and the grass and the dirt below you, below where your home possibly is. And just begin to be aware of that space. Now, I want you to imagine there a beautiful ball of light, which is you, that's down in the earth. And this ball of light is you, your true essence. And this ball of light is going to begin to start gathering earth energy. So the earth energy just comes into that ball of light. And as we draw earth into us, it allows us to expand as beings, to expand our presence in the world. And so you'll see that ball of light just gently expanding as you allow that earth to become one with that spiritual being, which you are. So allowing that to happen, then you're going to draw that ball of light and all that earth energy into your physical body. So be aware of that ball of light as it comes up to your feet, and that earth energy, warm and reassuring. That grounding energy helps you to know that you are safe, that everything is okay. It's just like having a mom around saying, it's all good, this is okay. So we draw that Mother Earth energy through that essence, that awareness of self, of beingness, up through the body. So that ball of light drawing up through the calves, drawing it up through the knees, through the thighs. And bring that ball of light just very gently into the lower part of the hip area. And it's connecting here with your first chakra, which is just absolutely in love with earth energy. And when we allow that earth energy to come up into that first chakra, it allows us to feel more certain, secure, more grounded. It also helps us to draw our manifestations into the physical world. So if we are connecting with earth energy, those ideas, those brilliant thoughts that happen in your brain and those creations that you're sending out to the universe, when we ground and draw that earth energy up and connect it to our first chakra, it helps magnetize our desires to the physical world. So this is a beautiful thing to do. You want abundance. You want to create things. You maybe want to write a book. draw this earth energy up into that first chakra. Let it get comfortable there and open that up. We'll then draw that beautiful ball of light, that earth energy, up through your abdomen, relaxing your belly. Oh, it feels so good to relax your belly. Let it just fall down, any tension that you hold there. Drawing that up now through your spine. Bringing it up through your solar plexus, feeling that opening right there. And we're just going to draw this up. It's wonderful when you're going to go into your creative center that you just take an assessment of your physical body. So as you're grounding up, you're just being aware of where you are, where your physical body is, how your energies are running. And you don't need to worry about if it seems to get stuck or feel tight. That's okay. Thank it for the information and then keep moving. So now we're moving up to the fourth chakra. And just feel your fourth chakra opening, relaxing. Good. Your unconditional love energy. So you're drawing that earth energy all the way up now. And bring it up through your shoulders, relaxing them too. Letting all that weight of the world just release. And bring it up now through your throat, your fifth chakra opening. Good. And keep taking those nice deep breaths, reminding your body to relax. And then bring that ball of light and that earth energy up into the center of your head, right into the center of your head. And you can be aware that there's a point in the center of your head where your pineal gland is. And if you don't know where that is, that's okay. Imagine a line going from the top of one ear to the top of another, your other ear. And then another line going from the center of your forehead to the back of your head, center, right between your eyes or your eyebrows, back to the back. And where these two lines intersect, that's approximately where your pineal gland is. This is the psychic center of you. And when you meditate and become still there, you're drawing your psychicness, your psychic energy down into your physical body. So go ahead and be still and quiet on that point for just a moment. Now, thoughts happen. That's okay. If you notice yourself thinking, that's brilliant. Your brain is working correctly. The trick to being silent and to being still is to just not have a conversation with those thoughts. So the thought goes through your head, I'm getting uncomfortable. That's okay. Let it keep going. Just see the thought as if it were a stream of words across a reader board. Just see it keep going. And so this is a very creative way to teach yourself how to become quiet in the mind. You don't fight the thoughts. You don't try to make them go away. That only increases a new thought or creates a new thought. Notice the thought if it happens. And that's it. So go ahead and just be aware of your own stillness and your own quiet. When you become still and quiet, what is essentially happening energetically is that all the resources, all the energy circuits that are available to you in any now moment are coming to center. Because you're not feeding energy out to thinking about what you're going to make for dinner or how your mother-in-law is feeling. None of these are going on anymore, so you're not feeding energy externally. All of it comes to center when you become still and quiet. And that's why we have such transcendental and deep experiences of consciousness when we're still and quiet, because our energy is present.
Mm.
So go ahead now, and I want you to be aware of your seventh chakra right at the top of your head, just opening. And as it opens, that beautiful ball of light, which is you, comes up above your head. And it's about 3 feet now. And just see it 3 feet above your head. And I want you to notice, using your awareness, notice what color it is. So this is you using your psychic ability, your ability to see, your visualization techniques. And just notice the color. And now what I want you to do is I want you to imagine that beautiful ball of light, which is you. It's like in a rocket ship. And we're going to be in that rocket ship, and we're going to count down. And when we count down, that rocket ship is going to go up. So you're in that rocket, just like you're an astronaut, and 3, 2, 1, whew, up, up, up. It's going up. It's going up. All the way through the blue, the pretty sky with the white clouds, maybe. Maybe it's nighttime where you are already and it's dark already. But go out and you're going to go all the way through the atmosphere. When we're going out, we're not really going out, but we're using concepts that the brain is familiar with about space. And we're using those to suggest the idea that we're going outside of the conscious awareness of the planet. So just know that you're going outside of all those ideas, all the ideologies, the cultural norms of the planet, and you're going up beyond them. Keep going up, all the way up, and you're going to start going through space now. And here we have even the ideas from spiritual ideas, spiritual truths that you might hold true or might believe. And we're going to keep even going beyond those ideas of the angels and the masters, and we're going to keep going up. This place of the lights, the beautiful, beautiful white lights of angels and masters is home for most of us. But we're going to keep going because there's a home even truer than that, one without duality. And we can talk about that when we're done. But keep going up, all the way up. And what's interesting, even in science, we know that, and we have concepts in quantum physics of the macrocosm, microcosm, and that what is big is small, and what is loud is soft. And we're going to go up, but as we go up, we're actually going inside simultaneously. So I want you to go up, and we're going to go through a beautiful band of white light. And I want you to go through that band of white light, and on the other side, what happens is you're going to come right into the center of a cell. And now you're into the center of a cell, and I want you to go deep, deep into that center of the cell. Now we've gone to the very smallest, and we're going to go into the subatomic levels of this cell through the nucleus. And now it's like we're getting smaller, but I want you to realize you're getting bigger simultaneously. So it's okay if size seems to increase or if it seems to decrease. These are all the same thing. So go into the center of this cell. And we've entered now the laws of the universe, the laws that govern physical body, the laws that govern the way our planet works. And we're going to go into those. And even beyond that, there's a space beyond all of this, which is all that is. And this is a beautiful white light, and it's different than a lot of white lights. And let me tell you some distinguishing characteristics. It has like a pearliness to it, or sparkly. And this pearliness is acknowledging that all reflections are part of it. It's not a light that has dark. There is no opposite of this light. This is a light that has all the colors within it, but they just show us these little sparkly essences. And I want you to notice now, as if there is a door. Now, doors suggest something, right? They suggest that you should enter. So I want you just to enter it. So walk all the way in so this pearly white is now around you. It's behind you. It's above you. It's below you. And you are one with it. Go ahead and take a nice deep breath. Inhale. Inhale that all that is. Feel your body relax. This beautiful breath of life, of all that is, which is you, goes all the way through your lungs, is picked up through your bloodstream. And all the parts of you that know itself as all that is start to shine and sparkle. Being aware, they get to have themselves be recognized and acknowledged. So acknowledge yourself and all the parts of you that are already aware and know. Breathe it in deeply. Relax your body. This is you. All that is. One. If you're seeing anything other than you, you're slightly outside of it, and that's okay. Just notice, because anytime we create images or reflections outside, we're participating in separation, and that's all right. We have that. That's part of our planet, and we're playing with those concepts. But in this space of all that is, this white pearly, it is all one. So it is just you as all, perfectly still, aware, silent. And now in this place, I want you to just listen and be aware. So we're meditating, but we're also going to use our awareness. And from this place, we can ask questions. We can actually ask it to share with us information. and it will speak. It might give us language in words. It might give us pictures or sensations, colors possibly. And so what I want you to do is in your own mind, I want you just to ask it a question, possibly something like, what am I doing here? What is my purpose? Who am I? What's the most important thing for me to know right now? Pick something that feels right to you, and I want you to get quiet and just listen and let the universe speak to you. We know how to pray. We know how to send our thoughts up to the universe. And the practice of receiving, of listening, is so important to our spiritual journey that we learn how to open our ears and our hearts to the messages of the universe. It is speaking to us always. So take a few minutes and just listen. Now, when you're listening to the universe, it may speak in lots of different ways. If it's showing you images and you're not sure what the images mean, you can have it show you more, so just ask another question. So say you see a picture of a stalk of wheat and you don't know what that means. And you say, show me more about the stalk of wheat. And suddenly it starts to bend and flex and you realize it's fully grown. You know how stalks of wheat expand and they have these beautiful branches of wheat coming off, and you're like this stalk of wheat fully grown and you're bending with the wind and you have the feeling inside of flexibility, of openness, of growing up towards the sun and the sky and spreading your arms open. So this image is a metaphor, and the universe loves to speak in metaphors. And so as you're listening, notice that it's speaking sometimes in these metaphors and allow it to keep showing you more. This is a great way to start to develop your relationship with all that is, your own inner knowing, to start to listen to that inner voice. And the more you come to it and start to receive and be witness to what it is, who you are and what you know, your truth, the more it will speak to you. Even when you're not being quiet, you will just become aware. But in the beginning, it's important to create a space for it to come in. So you can do this. You can come to this space on your own, just going through, going up, grounding upwards into your body, going up into the universe and all the way in to the center of all things, that which is common in every cell, in everything, everywhere. You are that zero point, that all that is light, that oneness. And you can come there, and from here, you can listen, you can look at things, you can receive, and you can know who you truly are and have experiences of your oneness. Now what I'd like you to do, now that you know how to create this space, how to come here, go ahead and just be aware of that beautiful ball of light, which is you, above your head. Just like it was 3 feet above your head when we started. And notice the color. Maybe it's the same color, maybe it has changed. This is all perfect. And we're going to bring that ball of light into the body. But what we want to do is we want to just bring in this cleansing energy. Because sometimes when we go on journeys, we'll go exploring and we'll have different experiences. I teach people how to do scans, how to go into someone else's space and do a scan. And so before we enter the body, we rinse off. And I love this part. It's so fun anyway. Bring a beautiful, beautiful, clean, beautiful warm water as if it's rinsing that ball of light. Completely clean. And then bring it back down into the center of your head. down through your fifth chakra, down through your chest, your fourth chakra, down through your abdomen. When you bring yourself and your awareness and that oneness down, you're acknowledging that there is a space for all of this, even in my physical body, in my physical presence here now. And so grounding back and drawing that back into your body is very, very important. So draw it back down through your abdomen, through your second chakra then, and down all the way into your first, down through your legs, and all the way back down into the earth. Gather back up that earth energy, drawing it up into that ball of light, and bring that earth energy now back up. So we're recentering, regrounding in earth energy. Draw it back up all the way through your body. Now, some people will stop it right at the center of their chest, and that's beautiful. You can also draw it all the way up. I like to take it all the way up to the top of my head and let it just, like a fountain around me, just expand and like the shower of grounding. So now I've got this beautiful, all that is energy running through my body. I've got this beautiful grounding energy running up and then flowering out the top of my head surrounding me. And this is a wonderful space to walk out and to join the world because you're completely grounded. You feel your absolute beingness with all that is. And you get to just, you know, play and be cool here. So this is a great way. I mean, you can go drive your car, feel comfortable. When you are finished and you decide to open your eyes, make sure when you open your eyes, you're looking out for your own eyeballs. So meaning that you're not looking out from like a corner of the room, so you can just notice that. And also, you can even give a test and say hi out loud. When people are still really not in their body, they'll go, hi, and they'll whisper it. So you can say hi out loud and just notice your voice, and it should sound normal. So I'll say, hi.
And hi.
Hi. So you just check that out. So this is a fun way to ground and feel your own connection with all that is to receive information. It's a great way to set yourself up for if you're wanting to have truth, to have knowing. It helps you step out of your fears, out of the consciousness of the world, and really get information that's coming from a nice, pure place. So if you're wanting to know truth, it's right there.
That was really beautiful, Marianne. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Was really nice. I love journeying. I really do, and that's why I was like, oh, Marianne's probably a great guide because I'm very flexible. I'll go wherever anybody tells me to go and experience. It's beautiful.
Funny, as you get really open, I notice I'm like the most suggestible person on the planet. I think most of you guys are fearless.
Exactly.
Find that sense. And jump on that plastic cow, and I'll be like, okay.
It's so true. Well, I mean, because there are so many light workers that are still protecting themselves, you know, putting up the barrier, you know, put up the barrier, not the white light that we went into, but the white light of protection. And I'm like, as long as you're protecting yourself, you're still in the duality that there's something to protect from.
Absolutely.
You know, that... It's a choice at this point because there's enough of us who have gone into the unity level, you know, the unity consciousness, that embracing that which you're afraid of will clearly be more beneficial to you than kicking its ass. Clearly.
Yeah.
Because kicking its ass just means it's kicking yours. Yeah. Yeah.
Just reflecting back to it, what it reflected to you, and this goes on indefinitely. This is called the karmic pattern. Like it comes to you, you send it back, it comes back, you send it back. I mean, who knows who started it to begin with, right? It might have been you, right?
Well, it's only us, right? Who else could have started it?
No. But, I mean, when we're in that duality, we like to think, well, somebody else began it, so I'm just, you know, doing it back, whatever. I mean, you know what? It ends and begins right here.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what? I can fight this, or I can just let it go and watch and see what happens. And it's such a, it can be a scary place though, because people what are we going to face ourselves? Like what could happen? Everything could go away. That's the nice thing about when it all does, you know, nothing could really touch you like you were saying. But, I think we're just kind of like getting all flowy and juicy in each other's truth here.
Well, you know, and these are the big elements, so to speak, that are really the big tools that are really needed right now are trust, our self, our awareness.
these are not the tools of yesterday's game. Yesterday's game was a different game, and there's no right or wrong, but there is definitely efficiency and lack of efficiency. Because when you can trust yourself, like you were saying, I mean, I have found myself, I've been calling myself lately, that's why this show is just so apropos, that I'm the poster child for the dark energies. You know, and everybody's like, what are you, crazy? Why would you want to label yourself as such? And it's like, well, one, because I'm not afraid of it. And two, there are so many light workers out there right now just speaking about the light only. That is out of balance. It is not about the light only. It is about the balance in the middle of the light and the dark is isness. But you can't find the middle if you're still trying to kick the dark's ass. You just can't find, because that fight is immediately taking you out of center. It's putting you in the push-pull. And what's ironic is the energies of the planet don't even support power. You know, one of the things I got recently was, you can put your energy into power. Wait, how is it? The power, the illusion of power, or you can put your consciousness into the power of illusion.
Yeah. Perfect.
You know, it's like, I'm not here to support the illusion anymore. That's why my new tools and my new sword is humility. Humility wouldn't have really done it, in the Vietnam War, per se. Even though, this is interesting when I say that, because truth be told, humility has always been the ultimate sword. I'm just becoming aware of it now that really is, because I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover, but I have been in fights all my life.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to fight anymore. And how do you stop fighting? You accept everything. That's how you stop fighting.
Because
we're not fighting anymore.
It's really cool, just on the dark and light thing and not fighting and stuff. I was talking to someone the other day, and it can be a really tricky concept, especially for all of us who are trying to practice concepts of the secret and create what we want, and that we put it out there. And I said, it's interesting, though. So say you're trying to create health, okay? So you're like, okay, I want great health. So you're putting that out there, you want great health. What you really want is what health gives you. So maybe you can find that it gives you the comfort, and it gives you a sense of rest and security. Wonderful.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, let's say that you even get health. Let's suggest that it happens. Now that you have it, you actually have the opposite as well, which is the possibility that you could lose it. Okay, so now we have to keep it. I said, so as soon as you send a projection out that I want health, you're not only creating health, you're creating the opposite simultaneously, because they exist together. You cannot have one without the other. What you might want. No, is that you can have the comfort and the rest now, and it has nothing to do with the concept of health. Because there are people with declining health who are in the most comfortable rest, peace, entire life, and sometimes they didn't even know it until they lost their health. So the idea that if we try to create anything out there, we actually are creating a future fight to have to then keep and protect that thing. It's like people who create money. Now that they have it, now they have to make sure they don't lose it. So the desire to create anything actually becomes its own little war. And if you want to truly know truth, don't create for the purpose of trying to get something, but create because you create, and know that the something that you're getting from it, you already have. Stay right there. So, okay, I'm going to be comfort. I'm going to be rest. I'm going to find that within. And if I have health, I have health. But now you're not needing to negotiate the external world anymore. And whatever happens, you're flying through like a, with a big grin on your face. Because
like a golden hawk.
A golden hawk.
You're flying like a golden hawk.
Right.
That was beautiful,
Mary.
That's right on. Yeah, exactly. We're doing it now for the experience. It's only for the experience, not for the thing itself.
Yes, or for what it might give you.
We can't attach it. We can't attach. The minute we attach it, exactly, you're in the polarity, because if you attach to it, then you got to be detached from it.
Right.
It's not essential.
Exactly.
You have to be neutral. And people are, even myself, how do you be neutral? You just... It's an isness. You're watching life dance, and you jump in when you want to dance, and you jump off when you don't. But It's not about changing. It's not about fixing. One of the greatest compliments somebody gave me recently on Facebook was they said to me, thank you so much for not trying to fix me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, you're perfect as you are. Listen, and that's what I think I really wanted from this show. I mean, and I'm getting it. You know, mwah, girl, I love you. You really rocked it tonight. You really did. Was just the whole concept of this neutrality, of this unity. Because as much as I love the light workers, there's still very much a voice of polarization out there amongst healers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not in that space. I am in the space where you're at, where it's the healing. We don't need to do the healing. We need to experience the healing. And the healing is already in existence. Now, how do we get there? Well, you get there by change the belief that something has to be up or down. Because one of the things I wrote recently was, it's not about this or that. It's about this and that.
Yeah.
We're everything. And we can, once we relax about, if we don't have this, we have to go for that, the whole opposite game. When we relax in our opposites, we really will experience life as having it all. Simultaneously.
Yeah.
Paradoxes abound.
So, like, you can tell if you're doing it. So lots of people think, well, then I can't ever have anything because as soon as I have it, then I'm going to lose it. I said, you can have a way, but you can tell you're doing it with neutrality when you're not protecting it anymore. You're not doing, you're not sacrificing yourself. You're not, you know.
Marianne, wait, I don't mean to interrupt. Listen, we got a caller, love, and somebody wants to talk to us. I want to get them on with you. Yes. Okay, whoever,
cool.
Skype, you're on the air with Marianne Monroe.
Oh, hi. This is Trisha.
Hi,
Goldie,
Trisha.
And all the ladies. I've been loving your show. And
thank you.
I just wanted to add a couple of things because they're really, I know, Goldie, you work a lot with children and things like that.
Absolutely.
This isn't an analogy that was given to me many years ago from a spiritual man. I was like really out there up in spirit all the time, and he said to me, you have to be like the seesaw. When you're always in spirit and in that light realm, like the seesaw goes up into the light, the dark, and if you want the dark to go away and the dark goes away, what happens to the light? It comes crashing down.
Mm. Right.
So you must stay balanced in the seesaw.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that one.
Yeah, it's so simple, but it's a really nice way of explaining it because people, when they get into the spiritual thing, you know, like the self-discovery, they think it's all about living in light all the time, and it's not. It's about grounding yourself, like you were just explaining through that meditation and afterwards and things like that. And the other term that I have really come to terms with in the last few years that means way more to me than the law of attraction, because the law of attraction doesn't work until you step into the law of awareness.
Oh, rock on, sister. Yes.
That is the whole consciousness of knowing what feels heartfelt. And if it's heartfelt, it's right. You don't have to question it. It just feels right for you, whether it's cocaine for that moment or you know, giving it up. It feels right. The law of awareness is right for you.
It's perfect for your journey. It's the right thing. And you could know it's right because what you're doing. I was counseling someone recently and she was thinking to go on antidepressants, and a lot of healers would, you know, just say that's not the way to go. And when I scanned her and looked at her and talked to the universe, it said, this is perfect. She needs a break from her mind. She's going to learn the state that she wants to come into, and then she'll release the antidepressant easily once
she needs
gets
to go through the
mind.
Circle.
And that's okay.
Yeah. That is the beauty of when things work from you with the medical profession. You have to 100% believe that that is the analogy that's right for you. And if it's not, it's not to judge it, but just to let it go. And
just
go into finding what works for you. I know it's getting towards the end of the show, but I wanted to share this because I heard it the other day and I've always wondered what this meant. Why people don't talk about the fourth dimension. And what it is, how it's explained, was that when you really do come to that balance between on the seesaw, when you're in that place, you are in the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is about knowing that the fifth dimension exists. And you can't know what the fifth dimension is until you balance and go through that fourth dimensional kind of channel. I don't know, what do you even call it, a corridor or whatever, but it's a, you know, it's an elevation. And the fourth dimension is the elevation of knowing the fifth dimension exists. And so when the planet elevates to the fifth dimension, the fifth dimension teaches, like, you're similar of yourself because you've had these fifth dimensional experiences, all of you people that are teaching here tonight, you will become the seventh dimensional teachers. So you will elevate.
Well, I believe even after the fifth, it's not even linear at that point. Now it's just pick a dimension, and it doesn't have to be third.
Yeah. But you see, when the rest of the people elevate to the fifth, or the people that are consciously there, then the fifth dimensional teachers elevate to a higher level to teach the fifth dimension. It's always that elevated state. It's you never stop growing. So it's just
you never stop growing. Exactly.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is the only thing that's really growing is awareness, because the truth is we are all that is. Right here, right now, from the homeless drug addict drunk to the Dalai Lama and beyond, the only thing that's shifting is awareness. That's why I was so excited when you said this is about awareness, because that's why there's nothing to heal, there's nothing to fix, there's nothing to change other than our experience of how we're walking through, flying through, gassing through, whatever dimension that we're gassing through.
Yeah.
And Goldie, the analogy that you learned, you were saying about you being the dark, I mean, not the dark, but actually experiencing that.
Poster child to the dark side.
I love it. But you see, the thing is that all of that was in your pathway to learn, to experience. You can't teach that if you can't experience it. I can't pick up a book about parenting unless the person that really wrote it is a parent. It doesn't make sense to me. You don't walk into an office to lose weight and the person's obese be sitting behind the counter. It doesn't make sense.
Even though I agree, but I must say this. How many, you know, the doctors, medical doctors, Western medical doctors, more of them are dying from cancer than their patients.
Oh, you know, by the way, Goldie, the remark I was talking about parenting, you are a parent, even though I don't know whether you've got children. I know you nanny them.
Thank you.
Teachers of parents too, to the children, if they do it through that love vibration of being, you know, knowing that they want to nurture that child.
Absolutely.
Audience out there, for all you people, Mother Teresa was the best parent on the planet, and she didn't make any children. I know that.
Well, but they didn't come through her womb, but clearly she has.
Yeah.
Right. There's plenty of children that call Mother Teresa mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
you are wonderful. Thank you for sharing. We're down to the last 2 minutes. I just want to make sure Marianne...
Close up and do your credits and all that, and so I can find
okay.
them. Bye, everybody.
You're fabulous.
Bye.
Thank you, Tricia. Thank you. That was fabulous.
Yeah, that was great.
That was what happens with the meditation. The awareness was just so right on. I mean, that's what I got.
Okay. Nice.
Okay, so we've got 2 more minutes, and we got 1 more minute. Can you, you want to close us? Yeah. And I just want to tell everybody, next week is Michelle Gabriel from Chambra. She's Chambra people, so my Chambra friends out there, she's Chambra. Okay.
I just wanted to thank you. First of all, this is absolutely a beautiful experience. I have so much fun sharing, especially because our hearts are just so yummy and all this together. And if I could just say anything, just trust, absolutely, like we've been talking about, wherever you are is the perfect place. And the universe has not guided you wrong. There's no position that you can be in that isn't just the right place to be. And if you relax into that and just say, okay, I'm just going to be right here, right now, you'll see it starting to come together. You are no further than anybody, and all you have to do is to relax and say, okay, I'm here now, show me, and you'll start to be aware, and that awareness will come into you, into your being and into your mind, and you'll actually get to have those experiences. So I'm excited for everybody out there, and I know that there are millions and millions who are going through the same things, and that just tickles me. So thank you so much for letting me share here today, Goldie. It's been a blast.
Oh, Marianne, chills, heart, tears, I've experienced it all. You're amazing. I seriously hope you will consider being a frequent guest on the show. I love your energy. I love your message. And let's rock and roll and keep up the wonderful post on Facebook. I will see everybody in a week. You were fabulous, Marianne. Outstanding. I could not have asked for a greater show to end July 2010 than this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you're so welcome. I will see and hear everybody next week. So everybody have a great week, and I will talk to you soon. And all you have to do is hang up after this. Bye!
Okay. Cool. So is this it?